fire up that Wayback Machine and take a walk with us down the drag of yesteryear. From that Mr. Gaddy's Pizza that used to be by Pitney's old apartment on Lavaca, past Captain Quackenbush's and the Varsity Theater, all the way down to Pleasureland. Ah, the good old days of stalkers and Scientologists. Join us, won't you? Welcome to Pitney and Amelia's Bitchin' Boutique.
We may be awful, but we're right.
So, oh my god, so towards the end of the last episode, the Verity Noslin episode, which, by the way, anyone who's listening right now, if you have not listened to the Verity Noslin episode, you must do that.
Oh, it's very Noslin-esque. It's fabulous.
It's a fucking mania, is what it is. So, but towards the end of it, you mentioned another character from our lives who I don't think has ever come up on the show before. And that was Amanda Gaddy's.
Yes.
as always, you know, whenever someone is in a location or related to something, that becomes their last name. Like if someone is, say, Mr. Bus Stop.
Yes.
Or there's been many Mr. Bus Stops over the years.
Remember my original Mr. though. Remember, I only saw him once at Oil Can Harry's, and I know you were there with me, and I remember he was dancing by himself, and I was so infatuated with him, and I never saw him again, but for months I talked about Mr. Goatee. Do you remember that?
Oh, you know what? I do. I would not be able to picture him.
Oh, yeah, me neither, really, but that was my first Mister with Mr. Goatee.
And there have been numerous Mr. Goatees over the years as well. Mr. Goatee, Mr. Tattoo, Mr., you know, Mr. Cargo Shorts, whatever.
Oh, I know, like, whatever. But, you know, nothing beats the worst person in the world, though, because everybody that he liked was that, you know, that cute...
You know, that cute little, hot little...
Yeah. That cute little goatee boy. Or that hot cute little old man boy.
Or that hot little homeless drifter boy or whatever. Like, because he was all... If someone was like a toothless hustler,
oh god,
that's who he was going to hook up with.
Oh, and I cannot wait to talk when we do an episode where we talk about him.
Oh my god.
I cannot wait to talk about that boyfriend that he had that time when I was living on Lavaca Street. And he had like a 40-year-old toothless...
Yes! Oh, shit!
Boyfriend who was, like, a 40-year-old skateboarder. Like, who the fuck is a skateboarder at 40 years old?
Oh, my God. I had completely forgotten about that guy.
And he was actually a nice guy, but you gotta wonder anybody that would date him.
I mean...
He was a nice guy. I liked him.
I mean, yeah, but...
I was a little nervous that he was gonna, like... You know, steal my Game Boy or something, but you know.
The toothlessness, he was very meth head kind of toothless.
Oh, yes.
He wasn't like just somebody who, you know, had some dental issues.
But, you know, he was that hot toothless meth head boy. Oh, no, the hot little toothless meth head boy. Because it was always little in there, right?
Oh God, he was so. Anyway, I want to hear the full story of Amanda Gaddy's.
Dear Amanda, okay. The thing about Amanda Gaddy's, I wouldn't recognize her to save my life now.
No, God. And I never saw her. I only know the lore of Amanda Geddes. And her legend.
Her name was Amanda.
Right.
But I don't, but anyway.
And she worked at Mr. Geddes. And
she worked at Mr. Geddes. So she was Amanda Geddes. And she, back in the 90s, I know you know this.
I've been realizing almost all of our stories are from the 90s. Yeah, that was our heyday.
You know, but the listeners do not know that back in the 90s for several years. Oh, we've talked about vending at cons. Yeah, so they kind of knew.
Yeah.
That I was a vendor. But I started off at this place called the Renaissance Market, which has nothing to do with the Renaissance Fair. It was just called the Renaissance Market. On what was called, or I guess what is called, the Drag in Austin.
Which is a section of Guadalupe Street, but Guadalupe,
Guadalupe.
Guadalupe.
Right.
Because everything in Texas is pronounced wrong.
Right, along the university, along UT.
Yeah.
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 And that
it's like UT. It goes along one end of campus.
Yeah.
And it's where all the shops and things
were. I think the Drag extended maybe a couple blocks beyond campus, but I think the Drag probably ended at Toy Joy.
Yeah, because the street continues to be fascinating for a ways. Yeah. I mean, like Antone's Blues Club used to be down that way, and you know, like before they moved downtown, and all kinds of just weird, you know, restaurants and Jane's. We'll have to talk about Jane's. Jane's was on the Drag, that end of the Drag by Toy Joy.
Oh, what?
Jane's was one of our favorite bad restaurants.
Oh my God, where we laughed at the cake, right?
Yes, where there was a piece of German chocolate cake that was worth laughing hysterically about.
Oh God,
that's a whole other thing. I'm sorry, Amanda Geddes.
Okay, yes, Amanda Geddes. So. Anyway, so I started off vending at the Renaissance Market on the Drag.
Yeah.
And I made, God, I'm trying to think of what I first started off with, a bunch of peasant shirts. But I also had little bags, little pouches, vests. I made a lot of vests, hats.
And you did a lot of things that were kind of like, it was Renny. It was very Ren Fairy, but it was also like club weary.
Yeah.
So
you
had this dream.
Yeah.
And the thing was, people would buy your shit, and we just know they were wearing it. They were wearing it down to the clubs.
People always bought my. Yeah. I mean, I didn't make hand over fist, but I think I would probably make about $300 a weekend. Which back then, that was good money.
Shit.
That is so frightening to think that now. But that was $1,200 a month? I was banking back then.
Yeah, that could be a full-time job back then because a lot of jobs paid $5 an hour.
When I started UT, working for the state, you would think it would be a good job, right?
It wasn't a bad job. My beginning
salary was $1,035 a month.
Was it hourly?
No, it was. Was my salary.
It was salary.
$1,035 a month.
I started working at the IRS because they would pay me $7 an hour.
Yeah.
And I was like, $7 an hour, and I can sit down and not talk to people?
Oh, I know. God, I
know. It was heaven. I didn't know how to type, but they didn't know that.
Yeah, but anyway,
Amanda Geddes.
Different era. But yes, so this woman, I met a lot of people. You know, I met a lot of people down there. In fact, that is I met Incarnation 2 of Trisha Von Lichtenstein.
Trisha Von Lichtenstein.
Down on the Drag. But anyway, we don't need to go into that.
No.
But I had a lot of people that I saw all the time because there was a lot of regulars that would come down there and just sort of hang out because there was a lot of homeless kids hung out down there, but not...
The drag worms.
It was the drag worms. So they were like, you know, the skate punks and the goths and the... And they would hang out and...
And bum cigarettes.
And bum cigarettes. Because that's what they did all day. And talk to all of us. You know what I mean? Yes. Anyway, it was fun. But two of my regulars were this woman, Amanda, and her friend, Ron. And they were both Rennies. So they were both really into my stuff.
Yeah.
And they were also in the SEA. And I just remember Ron, he had some kind of a disability. I don't know exactly what his situation was, but he had a disability and he had a colostomy bag. And, you know, God bless him, he wasn't in good shape. But I thought he was fabulous because he lived 24/7 in his SCA garb.
Oh, God, that's amazing.
He was never not in costume.
Oh, my God. Verity would have been so jealous.
Oh, my God, I could have seen her marrying
living in costume and being on disability. I mean, yes. That's the fucking dream.
But God bless Ron. But anyway, really, really nice guy. And anyway, but Amanda, yeah. She loved me. She was my biggest fan. She would take the bus, literally, she would take the bus and bring her SEA friends to me.
Oh, my Lord.
To buy shirts, chemises.
Right. Oh, my God.
Pouches, hats. She would bring her friends to see me to sell my stuff for me. She was my biggest fan. And I remember running into her at the fabric stores at least once. And she'd be like, oh, my God, what are you buying? What are you making? And I loved her to death. But she was one of those people that you only want to know at cons or you only want to know at Ren Fair.
Oh, God. You don't want them to know where you live.
Or you only want to know at SCA events, the whole three that I ever went to. And I think those were probably with you. You know?
Yeah, I think they're, yeah. I was at all three of those, yeah.
Yeah, but I knew that I did not want to really know her in real life because she was wacky in that con woman way that only people...
Which is amusing, but also scary.
Yeah, people... But anyway, I started calling her Amanda Gaddy's because she worked at the Mr. Gaddy's that was in the same shopping center as Hancock Fabrics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is how I ran into her in the fabric store. And I remember her giving me this big sob story about how she was so brokenhearted and she had to find another job. And I was like, well, oh my God, like, you know, what's going on? What happened? What did you do? Like,
oh no.
And she was like, oh. I got Mr. Gaddy's cut me down to 1 hour a week.
I mean, was she like, I mean, she wasn't going to say she was a bad employee, but did she ever explain?
I have no fucking idea why.
Oh my God.
And I remember I saw her off and on after that, but I haven't seen her in years. But she has a fond place in my heart because she was really nice and I really did enjoy talking with her. And she was a huge fan of mine.
Right.
And she would be, you know, she obviously...
But God, on 1 hour a week, she couldn't buy stuff from
me. But she must have worked hard for that money at Mr. Gaddy's and she did buy some stuff from me. So, you know.
Oh, my God.
So, Amanda, I love you. You probably don't remember me.
Wherever you are. Oh, my God. But, God, the drag. The drag. It was like, I mean, there's, of course, everything in Austin has changed.
Oh, yeah.
So much. And I have to drive down there all the way because the salon where I get my hair done is like, I always drive all the way down the drag to get there, even though I don't necessarily have to, but I want to drive.
Oh yeah.
There.
Just to see.
And it's, there's little pockets of things where they would leave, like, they would tear a building down, but they would leave the one wall up because it had a mural.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Daniel Johnston, "Hi, how are you?"
Oh,
mural,
yeah, that's what I was just thinking. That was on the side of that, yeah,
the side of Sound Exchange. That whole building is, that whole block is not unrecognizable now. And what was that? It's
like
now
a giant eyeball on legs? Is that what it is? Or something it's kinda, like that?
It was, I'm trying to, they always described it as like a frog, but it's like, he had like snail eyes, like eyes up on stalks.
Oh, that's right.
And it was like a happy, smiling frog creature.
That's right. Okay.
Daniel Johnston, I mean, there's a documentary about him.
Yeah.
He's one of those artistic geniuses that I'm kind of like, yeah, sure. he was very, very, inspirational to a lot of people, a lot of, musicians in the 90s, and he was sort of a local kook. I think he's dead.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Probably.
But he would record, like, in his house, he would just record this music that he would write, and then he would make, like, hand-draw covers of little cassette tapes. Like, he would copy cassette tapes and he would sell them. He would be like, probably on the drag.
Yeah.
And there's so many people who have like old cassette tapes of Daniel Johnston.
And was his music good or was it just really awful?
People liked it. I'm not gonna pretend like I think it's great. I totally appreciate how beloved he was,
yeah,
and how people just worshipped him, because he was also, I mean, he was a little, he was off.
Uh-huh.
He was a special man with special needs, and
okay,
his plane going over, I'll just acknowledge it, it's fine. It's raining out. They have to reroute the planes. So the plane's going directly over my house. Did you hear that one?
Yeah, I did. I heard it, yeah.
Okay. It wasn't as loud as the last one. The last one was low flying. This one was a little better. But yeah, he was just sort of a local kook. I mean, Austin loves their local kooks.
Oh, God, yeah.
But that mural was always very sweet. And,
oh, yeah, I remember it. That's still there, yeah, right? That wall is still there.
It is still there.
Okay, that's good.
I think the mural by, because there was a mural right by the Renaissance Market, too, right? Wasn't there,
yeah,
a mural?
There was, now that I think about that.
Was that the Carry On, yeah, one with the guy with, like, the Austin skyline, which, of course, is,
yes,
unrecognizable now? And, yeah, I think that's,
yeah,
still there,
and,
too.
And, you know, as far as I know, the Renaissance Market is still there, too.
It may be.
It's still there in that same
little
alleyway or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, it's like, it's not half a block. It's maybe a third of a block.
Yeah,
it's like,
been, we're like,
you know, building,
except
a
there was
space.
No shops there. Yeah, it was just
right,
open area.
Like, there may,
yeah,
have, yeah, there may have been buildings there at one time,
yeah,
but they weren't anymore, and it was just sort of an empty lot that just sort of became a play, you know, they just sort of turned it into this little market,
yeah,
area that it was right across from. And I think it was, I think it had a crosswalk right there. So I think it was like an easy place,
oh,
for students,
yeah,
to get to.
Oh, it did. Yeah. God, it was fabulous back then. It was like, you know, they had,
yeah,
everything, like my costume stuff, pottery, clothing, leather, of course, jewelry,
yeah,
hippie crap. It was, but everything,
oh,
had,
yeah,
to be handmade. It was
that's good.
You had to go, you had to apply, and I remember I had to, like, submit items to, like, a board.
Right.
And they had to approve it, that you had to prove that you made it yourself, and it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it was really cool, but I think it's still there, but anyway.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But very few things are. But, like, you, now, by the time you were selling there, you were living with your ex up in the house, because you weren't working for yourself back then.
So I'd
but
been
you
there
used to
maybe two
have,
years at that point, yeah.
Yeah. You used to have an apartment right by the drag, which,
yes, I did.
It's still, every time I try to describe that apartment to people, they can't, I mean, this, an efficiency apartment for one person is small.
Yeah.
Like, very small, even small as an efficiency goes. But that place was designed to have two people living in it.
I think, because those things were designed for students. Like a dorm room.
Right.
It was basically a very small dorm room. Yeah.
The very small building with just, like, parking and storage underneath, and then, like, one floor of these little apartments, and every two apartments shared a bathroom. Like, they shared a toilet and a shower. And each apartment had a sink and a tiny little fridge and a closet and, like, built-in desks.
Yeah,
like that whole counter area.
And remember, they were orange formica.
They were fantastic.
They were burnt UT orange formica, and I had dark brown paneling on the walls. Yes.
And I always, there's this pair of lamps that are still in my parents' house that I used, that they were the perfect lamps for that apartment. Because the orange, the wood, everything, they're fucking fantastic.
Oh, the kind of lamps
that have like a little globe at the bottom, and then like a wooden stick, and then the top, like the tall cylindrical drum shade. But the globe at the bottom, you could either have the light bulb at the top on, or the globe lights up, or both.
Oh, I remember those, yes.
God damn it, I love those lamps. They do not match my house now. Although, now that I have the cool pumpkin orange chairs, I have to figure out a way to get to work them into my living room.
Oh my God, I have to figure it out. But man, that apartment was so... It was tacky beyond belief.
But
I think it was... I think it was $185 a month.
Oh my God. We had the best time in... Just...
Yeah, it was literally $185 a month. And I had a little hot plate for a stove. Yes. And I think I bought, I didn't even have a microwave, but I think I bought like a toaster oven.
Yeah, I think of it. I mean, one time you made me shark steaks and leek soup. You made me a special meal there once.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I had that little
toaster oven. On your hot plate.
Yeah, I had a hot plate. Yeah, yes. I was like... Shit, I was 23 years old. I mean, whatever.
We were living... There was a 7-Eleven a block away, yeah. And we could go over there and buy a frozen chocolate pie and bring it back and sit on the floor and just eat it while it thawed.
And it was four blocks away from Charlie's, the gay bar.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I could go down there and not have to worry about driving or taking the bus or whatever because I didn't have a car. But, you know, I could just go down there and be like, I only live three blocks away.
But that was where you lived when we made our Kiss costumes.
Yep.
Because that's where I remember sitting and putting rhinestones on things.
Sitting on the floor.
Studying stuff. Studying vinyl.
Tacky-ass little apartment. Yep.
You had all your Revenge era Kiss posters on the wall.
Oh, the whole wall was Kiss.
That fabulous Blackie Lawless drawing that I made for you was hanging by your bed.
Oh my God. I have good
memories. And pictures of Velvet Von Ragnar that we colored with.
Yes, they were mimeographed or I'm sorry, photocopied, and we colored them with highlighters. Yes.
Oh my god! And there was a good space underneath the door where daylight came in, and we'll just say falling down drunk Pitney, because the guy who had the same name as you, but he was falling down drunk Pitney, suddenly came knocking at your door, and we were hiding, and we were laying on the ground waiting until we saw his feet.
To see shoes so I could see who it was.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of stalking me at that point.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, you know.
And the thing was, he was really cute, but he was a mess.
He was a mess. He was a tragic mess.
God, he was cute, though, remember? He was so cute.
He was like just...
But yeah, we diverge. But let me just tell one thing before we get back to the drag.
He was a restraining order waiting to happen.
Yes, but just let me say one thing. Literally, this is not a joke. This literally happened at the crossing. You know this for what I'm going to say, right?
Is this the falling down story?
He...
On a stool?
He was on... No. This was when he, like, pulled his pants down at the back bar of the crossing. And bent
the one that was
and bent over the bar and said, "Doesn't anybody here want to fuck me?"
Now that's another place that had a lot of great stories. Was the back bar at the crossing?
That literally happened.
Holy shit!
And I dated this guy.
I wasn't
for about a week.
Well, dated. With air
well,
quotes.
Basically, I thought he was hot, and I just wanted to have
I
a
mean,
romp.
He was trashy hot.
He was trashy so hot, but ooh, he leached onto me, and then he promised me, he was like, "I'll stop drinking if you marry me," and I'm like, "Girl, please."
Was the crossing where he felt, where he fell completely, where he and the bar stool just fell over backwards?
Yes.
And crashed on the floor.
Absolutely,
that was the crossing.
Was. Yes, it was indeed.
Because I was for a second, I thought, no, it wasn't Auntie Mames, was it? It's like, no, that we didn't have bar stools.
Auntie Mames
there.
Didn't exist then.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But everyone at Auntie Mames still knew. I mean, he was famous.
Yeah.
Falling down drunk Pitney was very famous.
He was so cute though. God, I wonder. God, he's probably dead.
Oh God.
And I remember he had this huge. Heart. Calligraphy tattoo all the way across his upper back that said depressed.
Oh my God.
God bless him.
That's amazing.
But he was cute.
Down this road is a small city once thriving and full of life, but now desolate and abandoned. Well, abandoned save for the horrors rumored to reside within, which I presume is why you're here. Now, there's nothing wrong with a little morbid curiosity, but please, remember to stay close to your guides. We wouldn't want anyone to get left behind now.
Hello and welcome to Nopeville, the city filled with all the terrifying and horrible things that make you say nope.
Nope.
We're your tour guides. I'm Jen.
And I'm Christine. And we invite you to join our tours through the city, including all things paranormal, true crime, and supernatural.
From haunted places to possessions.
From serial killers to cults.
From zombies to cryptids.
You can find out more on our website at nopevillepodcast.com.
And catch a tour today wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, but let's... Okay, but back to your little apartment. Your cute little apartment. And how the convenience of basically living at one end of the drag.
Yeah.
So you walk out the door and you're half a block away from the open mouth of the drag.
Yeah.
And you could... And the world just... unfolded in front of you and you could do anything.
Yeah.
Because the drag had everything.
Yeah, and I will say just before, you know, right behind my apartments, like directly behind my apartments was a Pizza Hut.
A Pizza Hut.
And across the street from that was a Mr. Gaddy's.
That's true. That was one of, I think that was one of the original Mr. Gaddy's.
But anyway, and then there was the drag, yes.
And then the drag. I should watch, I mean, it's not as exciting as it used to be, but I should watch Slacker again, the old Richard Linklater movie, because back in the, you know, the late 80s, early 90s was when he filmed that all around Austin, and God, half that movie was filmed on the track. But that's one of those movies that's hard if you live here, because every time people turn a corner, they're all the way across town.
And I tried to watch, I mean, not, I don't want to say recently. When I say recently, I mean within the last 15 years recently, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just found it intolerable. I just couldn't even watch it.
Well, it's so weird because, like, back then, I mean, there was a lot of the people... There was, like, maybe 6 or 7 people in the movie that I kind of knew. Mm-hmm. Some of the people in that movie that I kind of knew were people who were very into Daniel Johnston. It was that whole hipster world, you know? But where I first saw Slacker was at the theater at Dobie Mall, which is a place that it's like a little cute, weird little mall that's right next to campus. And I didn't know, you know how many years it was before I looked up and realized there was an entire skyrise looking dorm sticking up out of the top of it?
Yeah, it was dorms. And it's basically the upper level was just a big food court and a movie theater.
Yeah. Although in the early, early days, the food court wasn't really there. But, like, I saw so many movies. Yeah. Oh, God. The Dobie was where we went to the porno film festival
that time. And we saw a 3D porn, remember?
We saw that 3D porn that was called Power Tools.
That's right.
And there was a scene in Power Tools. See, the things that I remember. I can't remember algebra, but I remember when we were in a movie theater, when we were in the Dobie watching the 3D porno movie called Power Tools, and there was a scene, well, first there was a scene where these two twin brothers start doing it, and someone from the back of the theater goes, "Ooh, it's your brother." It's so funny being in the theater like that.
Oh, was it a gay porn? I didn't remember that.
Oh, it totally was.
Oh, okay.
But there was a scene where two, like, construction guys were making out and starting to fuck on, like, a construction site.
Uh-huh.
And for no reason that anyone could understand, this music starts playing. And I'm sure the intention was that it was, "I've been working on the railroad."
Yeah.
But because this was at UT, that song is also the UT fight song. So we're all sitting there going, "The eyes of Texas are..."
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because they were fucking to the eyes of Texas, basically. And it was amazing.
But I do remember, like, dicks coming at you. And I do remember the 3D cum shot. I do remember that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The 3D cum shot.
It was so fucking funny. And I think that film festival also had a short that was Barbies and Kens with like they'd put like pubic hair and like Play-Doh dicks on the Kens. And
oh my God, I don't remember.
It was I just, you know,
but I can't,
like,
imagine
like Barbies and Kens in a dream house
through a whole porno movie, even if it's 3D. We must have just been laughing and talking and drinking the
whole
time.
The whole theater was, because that's why we were all, like, yelling out.
I'm sure we were just all drinking things the whole time. I'm sure. We had to.
I mean, it was... God damn it. And another thing that happened in that theater for me, I mean, because I saw so... Oh, I saw Hedwig there the first time. I saw so many good
movies. Oh, I saw
there.
Hedwig there. I saw Cowboy Bebop the movie there.
Oh my God!
I saw the Tenchi Muyo movie there.
Oh my Lord!
One time,
a friend and I, we were going to see Help, the Beatles movie Help, and we decided to grab a bite to eat in this place that was right across, and it was like, I mean, it was clearly, it was a Vietnamese place, but it looked like a deli.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, we got what we thought was a turkey sandwich. Yeah. And it was quite tasty, but, like, you know how sometimes, especially in Asian food, you know, the heat doesn't hit you right away? We were basically splitting a sandwich, so we didn't eat that much, but by the time we left there, we both thought we were going to die.
It was the slow burn, yeah.
The slow burn. And so when we went to the theater, we bought like Starburst,
yeah.
And we spent the, I can't watch Help. I can't watch that movie without thinking about just like holding a Starburst in my mouth to generate as much saliva as I could, because I thought I was going to die from the peppers in that sandwich. Oh my god.
But yeah, but oh, Dolby Mall. I remember Dolby Mall was right across the street from that porno theater. Or I shouldn't say porno theater, I should say porno shop.
Yes, it was a like a bookshop. Triple X bookshop. Like
they had
thing.
Some movies and some dildos and some lube in the front, but the 3/4 of it was curtain booths where you put your quarters in and go jerk off, you know.
And really it was the tacky neon signs that like the whole window was just tacky neon signs.
Or what you would really do is students would go there and get their dick sucked in the booth anonymously is what it really was for.
Yeah, sure. You know. And we took pictures in our KISS costumes in front of it too.
Yes, and that was fabulous. But then I remember, you know, when I first moved there, I spent all my time at that coffee shop, Quackenbush. It was coffee shops because they had. Remember, they had a pseudo outdoor patio.
That was the smoking room.
Yeah, it was
room.
Like open air, so you could smoke, and it was also a bookstore.
Yeah, like you had to walk past this glass wall.
I loved it. I was there every day because that's how I was trying to meet people.
Oh yeah, like you'd go in there and just be like. Very obviously reading a fascinating book, just to hope someone would ask you what you were reading. I actually looked it up because I was trying to remember the full name. Because I remember it was Captain Quackenbush.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the full name is Captain Quackenbush's Intergalactic Espresso and Dessert Company.
Oh, fabulous.
Amazing. But god
but
damn
man,
it, that
I
was...
would take the bus there. Sometimes I would walk there. And then eventually when I bought my bike, I'd ride my bike there. And when I said I walked there, that was like a 2-hour walk. It was not close.
Yeah, because I didn't live in that part of town. Yeah. And you were living with me.
But I would walk there. But when I used to ride my bike there. Yeah.
Yeah, like you lived in my apartment. And then you worked downtown. Yeah. And you would go down there. And it was like, that's... I mean, Austin's not a huge city, but if you think about it now, it's like, that's nuts. Like, you couldn't, you wouldn't want to make that trek now.
But anyway, oh, but that porno shop, and then.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember, the Tower Records, of course.
In fact, I was just thinking about that.
Tower Records.
Was it already Tower Records when you moved here?
Yeah.
Okay, because it had been the Varsity Theater, and that's another place I remember seeing certain movies. But the thing that I loved about the Varsity Theater was it was an old theater that had, like, a balcony. Like, it was, like, a big old theater. Mm-hmm. And then around the time when I started going up there, it basically, the theater sort of split itself in half. So that the top half of the screen was where you sat in the balcony and it was like, there was a movie there.
Oh,
like they extended like a new ceiling between the balcony and the first level. So they had two screens all of a sudden. That was very strange. But then that building, another mural that's very, very important to the city was the one on the side of that became, even when Tower Records moved in, it was like, you will not touch.
Oh my god, I remember there being a mural there, but what was it? I don't remember.
It was like a movie-themed mural. It was like film stock, like kind of swirling around, and I think it had... I think the big image was from the Harder They Fall or whatever, but it was like,
wow.
I think it had Liza Minnelli from Cabaret, and it had like Anne Margaret, and it had.
I'm vaguely remembering it, and I know I must have seen it.
If you saw a picture
times.
Of it,
oh god, yeah.
But it also, that thing was so cool that. When there was something was going on and they had to do some sort of construction on the side of the building or like put in a window or something. And they actually took a section of the mural and relocated it in another spot that was blank so that when they had to put this other thing in. So there was like this one spot that wasn't quite right, but they were not going to demolish it. They very carefully cut it out.
I vaguely remember that. But I love that Tower Records. I remember The first time we went in public in our kids' costumes, we walked all the way down to that Tower Records in our kids' costumes.
Oh, we were... Well, yeah, because we went to the Lounge Lizard show at Cactus Cafe, and then we took the pictures by the fountain, and then we just sort of walked down there. Yeah, oh my God. That was a... Man... Think about how far we walked in those boots.
Oh, yeah.
Those boots were like wearing really heavy ankle weights.
But we were young.
We had lumber on our feet.
We were young and on fire with fandom, so you know.
That's right. And there were like, there were so many like weird, cool stores, like the Bazaar. There was also a bazaar that was over near where I lived. Which was like a wigs and lingerie kind of store. It was like wigs,
lingerie, and a little bit of costume stuff. But mostly wigs and lingerie and makeup.
But it was, yeah, it was more, it was more stripper wear than anything else. Right, yeah. You could get like the really good like Ben Nye makeup there that was like much higher quality than what you could get at Lucy's where I worked. A little bit.
They had a little bit of better stuff. But yeah,
But you know, like, we would walk all the way, like, I don't even know how many blocks it is to get all the way down to Toy Joy, but there used to be, you remember across the street, like, right before you got to Toy Joy, you would turn left, there was, like, a little, like, there was, like, a laundromat, like, a tiny little strip, and right in the middle of that little strip, they only had, like, maybe three or four stores or whatever
it was
a porno shop.
Pleasureland.
And we used to go down there. We would walk down to Pleasureland just to browse.
Oh my God, Pleasureland. And then they had, if you went behind the curtain...
Well, I never...
They had booths that had...
See, you didn't do that shit when I was with you. Oh, of course not. We would just shop.
But no, that place was so trashy, and it was all, like, people from UT, you know.
Oh, totally,
and this
was,
I mean, this was before Grindr, before gay.com, before...
And this was, like, Tinder, because they had the other one that was right there. Yeah. The other one that was right there on the, like, on the first part of the drag. This was, like, the people who didn't want to be seen there.
Yeah.
Went down to Pleasureland.
So this was before that. And there would literally be, like, okay, so there was, like, you'd go in, and there was, like, a hallway. There was, like, two hallways and, like, a little L-shaped thing with, like, curtain booths, right? You'd go drop your quarters. Right. And, of course, people would go and have sex in the booths, whatever. But the place, it was so trashy. There would literally be guys there with their pants open just jacking off in the hallway.
Oh, my God.
That's how trashy it was. And I thought it was fabulous. Oh, my God. I mean, that's long fucking gone. I mean, I don't think that happens anywhere anymore.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Or if it did, I sure as fuck don't know, because, I mean, I'm, like, 30 years too old to be even thinking of that shit.
I mean, considering how much time you and I spent, like, we'd be just driving around town, if we'd see a sex shop, we'd be like, ooh, let's go. And it was, most of the time, we were perfectly comfortable, but everyone, oh, God, remember that one on Lamar?
Yes.
The one on Lamar that, like, it just, it's like... I've never been more uncomfortable. There was just like a vibe in that place that it felt like there were eyes in the walls and 100 people were looking at me at all times. It was so creepy. And it was just a shitty little store. It was no worse than anything else.
Oh, yeah, but no, I do remember that. And it was weird. But yeah, oh, Pleasureland, it was like a cornucopia of decadence. It was
so... Oh, my God.
But that was like, again, that was before you could, people would, now they just go and they get on Grindr and you go to somebody's dorm room and get your dick sucked and then you go home and go to bed and it's not a big deal. But we didn't have that back then. You know.
Where was it that guy who was your roommate for a minute, where was it that he used to hang out? Was it the bathrooms in the library at UT?
Oh, God, yes.
Or was it the washataria?
It was, oh, God, yes.
Was he the one who would hang out with a stick of butter?
Oh, no. Oh, that was Tony. That was the fabulous Tony.
Oh, that was your neighbor!
God bless him. He's dead, unfortunately. Oh. I loved him so much. I worked with him at the hotel. Yeah, and he lived with me in the trashy apartments where we shared the bathroom, right?
Yeah, is that how you ended up getting that apartment? Because Tony was there?
No, I got him that apartment, though, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I loved him. He was so much fun. I loved him. Ugh. We had so much fun together. We'd go to the bar together, and we'd drink together, and we'd party together. God. And I mean, God damn it, he was such a slut, and it was so fabulous. He would go to the UT college bathroom with a stick of butter. And you can imagine the rest.
I mean, that's glorious.
He would come and just tell me of his adventures of the day. And be like, I got fucked by 4 different guys and blah, blah, blah. And then you should have seen this one. How big did, you know what I mean? It was just like, really? Tell me more.
Oh, my God.
I loved it, but you know, it's sad. Those days are, I mean, I know that's totally illegal, and people in this day and age think it's really trashy and whatever, and it's fine.
But God damn it.
But it was fabulous.
Being young and slutty in the 90s
was fabulous. It was so much fun, and it was fabulous, you know.
Oh my God. That's how I met Weena. Through being slutty in the 90s?
I met Weena because we used to fuck in one of the bathrooms all the time.
At UT?
Anonymously, yes.
And then one day it wasn't anonymously?
And we were so enamored with each other and we thought each other was so cute that we ended up going back to his place.
Oh my God.
And then we dated a couple times until Benny stole him from me. But then he
gave me a great haircut. He gave me great haircuts for a long time until he gave me that fucking mullet. And then he was, I would never speak to him ever again.
But that's how I met
Weenus.
Oh my God. I will be Weenus. Blooping his name.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought of one other thing about the drag, and I just found out, because the drag is so fabulous, it has its own Wikipedia page. Apparently, at some point, the Church of Scientology that had its own building down there.
Oh, I remember it must have that. Closed. Yes.
Oh yeah, that yeah. You have a whole Scientology story.
I remember that. Yeah.
And I found in the duplex before we moved, and I did not throw it away, and I don't know where it is, but I know I still have it. For some reason, I had the paperwork from when you did the personality assessment and you got audited or whatever by the Scientologist. I have
that
it.
That is so fucking funny. Oh my God, that's so
I'm
cool.
I'm sure it's in my garage. But this is what the Wikipedia page says. In 2024, the Church of Scientology building on the drag reopened, sparking protests from the student body. When did it close? I can't imagine why it would have closed.
Okay, interesting.
But you ran into the Scientologist when you were looking for a job, and they were trying, they wanted to recruit you so bad, those Scientologists.
That's right, and I didn't know what the fuck it was.
No, of course not,
understand.
Back then.
I'd never even heard of that, Dianetics. I didn't know what the fuck
I remember was. TV commercials, but it was just a volcano, and L. Ron Hubbard, Dianetics, and they never said
and
who it
was. And I literally still don't know exactly what it is, and I don't.
Because I became obsessed with Scientology. But that's a whole other thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I still don't even know what it is.
Yeah, it's a fucking scam cult evil. Yeah. Where is Shelley Miscavige?
Yeah.
Anyway. But I remember you saying that they kept saying there was a job.
That's right.
And you were like, well, what does it pay? And that bitch kept saying, well, it's enough for groceries.
God,
and it's like, but how much are you? How much are you saying? And the thing is, now that I know shit about Scientology, she was probably trying to talk you into being in the Sea Org or some shit. And it's like, basically, you sign a billion-year contract, and you owe your entire existence, because we are all eternal intergalactic beings, and you sign a billion-year contract to serve the church, and they own you. Oh, and you do, like, manual labor and bullshit. Yeah, that's what Scientology
is. Yeah, I know,
is.
I remember that, though. Yeah, and I didn't know anything what the fuck it was, but yeah.
But, oh my god, yeah, I know. I mean, I was never aware of it closing, but I'm fascinated. I may have to go down
but
that
that's
wormhole.
Right. Yeah, that was on the drag. It was that big, that two-story building on the corner on the
yeah.
drag.
And down below, it was like other things. It was like a pizza yeah. place and whatever. But yeah, very exciting.
Oh, I miss it anyway. I would the never drag. In a million years want to move back to Austin.
No.
Ever.
No.
Ever, 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 like, if someone gave me a house there, I'd be like, oh, fuck no, and I just put it up for sale sight unseen. That's how much I would never want to move back to Austin.
Oh, my God.
But...
Well, I mean...
I have such fond memories of it. I had so much fun there.
Austin in the 90s was the fucking best. Because we were young and broke, but somehow we made it work. And
oh, that was the happiest time of my life.
But you could be young and broke and creative and yeah. fabulous in the 90s in Austin. And you
yeah, that was the happiest time of my entire life, but I would never fucking live there again.
Oh my god. Oh. I want to go back to... I want Captain Quackenbush's to still yeah. exist. And I want to go get, like... A big brownie and a big giant like yeah. mocha latte and just sit in that smoking room and just, you know, talk about yeah. talk about Doctor Who and stuff like we used to do.
Yeah. I want to go back to Pleasureland and have it be exactly like it was on a random night in 1993 and be 23 years old again. That's what I want. But alas, that woman.
Alas. Oh my god.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoy our show, please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you listen.
If you send us a screenshot of your review, we'll send you a Bitchin' Boutique sticker.
Everyone loves stickers. Please subscribe or add us to your favorites wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribers get new episodes first and are also more attractive.
Drop us a line anytime at pitneyandamelia@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear from you.
It was a heaven. I didn't know how to type, but they didn't know that.
Yeah, but anyway, it was anyway.
God, anyway, it was Amanda Gaddy.
Different era, different era. But yes, so this woman, so I met a
oh
lot
my God,
of
I just
people.
I just have to say, I have the feeling this episode is going to be called Anyway, Amanda Gaddy.
Yes. So, you know, I'm